To a very familiar passage tonight. I want to look at the 23rd Psalm for just a little bit this evening. Well, the Hill said this. He said, I bet you're fired up to preach tonight. And really, Brother Hill, to be honest with you, after hearing what we've heard, I don't even feel like I can preach hardly, just to be honest with you. We've heard some good preaching this week. I really appreciate the Lord helping us with that. Let me pray first. That'd be the best thing for me to do. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening, and I'm very needy. Father, you know you placed me in this work and called me, and I'm a very needy individual. And so I ask you to help me, Lord, if you would. Give me clarity of thought and speech. And Father, open the hearts of your people and do an eternal work in our midst this evening. And we'll thank you and praise you. If there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, would you please move it out of the way? And you get all the glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you a little bit this evening about the shepherd. We live in a troubled world. God's people seem to be troubled, seem to be bothered. Seem like things just get them down, get them all out of sorts. And I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that the Lord said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. We have Him with us every day. We should be, but I'm afraid many times we're not consciously aware that the Lord is with us. And when I say that on a personal basis, the Lord is with us. Now, all of you tomorrow are going to, or many of you all will go your separate ways to the job sites and different places. But as you go, the Lord is with you to help you. And I want to look at this little psalm for a little while. There's much that we might say. That we could say we could go over to John 10, and I don't want you to. I want you to stay in Psalm 23, and I'm going to be brief tonight. I know many of you all are just dead tired, slap dead tired, and I'll try to be respectful of that. We could go over to John 10 and read. About the good shepherd. The Bible says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I was reading one fellow and he said this, and apparently this was in the early 1900s, I'm guessing, and he said he saw some shepherds and they wasn't what you would think. They didn't have the little crook and the clothes, and he said they were armed with, they had a long gun, and they had pistols, and they had knives strapped to them, and they were a rough-looking bunch. And he said as he looked at those shepherds as they were going to, the way the story read, all the sheep were right there together, as they were going to get their sheep, they looked more like warriors than they did shepherds. That they were prepared for battle. They were prepared to fight as they went out. And so here it says, he says, I am the good shepherd. And my, you could just go, I guess, and preach a message on that. If you were to back up a little bit, it says that the sheep hear his voice and follow him, for they know his voice. Speaking of the shepherd. And then in verse number 12, it elaborates on the shepherd giving his life. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now here's what I would say first about our shepherd. He's a committed shepherd. He's committed to you and I. And then Brother Wells talked about that shepherd today who had 100 sheep and one strayed. And the shepherd began to seek that sheep that had gone astray. And I could say this, he is a seeking shepherd. And he is going to end up with what he started with. If he had 100 sheep, he's going to end up with 100 sheep. He's not going to lose any that the Father gave him. And so we could talk about that. But really, I just want to give you a few little truths out of Psalm 23. And I know this is a very familiar thought to some of you, but Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 and Psalm 24 can all be put together and you can have a trilogy or three Psalms with a similar theme. And that is, in these three Psalms, I think the theme is of the shepherd. In Psalm 22, we have the Savior. Psalm 23, we have a shepherd. Psalm 24, we have a sovereign or a king. If you want to look at it that way, you have the good and great shepherd in those passages. Excuse me. The good and great and chief shepherd in those passages there. In Psalm 22, if you were to look, you would see that's a story of his crucifixion. Look in verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me. They gape upon me with their mouth as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. All that, as you read down through there, is speaking on the crucifixion. What our Lord did for us in the past. Now, as we come to Psalm 23, that's what He did for us, what He's doing for us in the present. If we can have that. In Psalm 24, look over in verse number 7 of Psalm 24. We see the Lord as He resurrects victoriously into heaven. Not resurrects, but goes victoriously into heaven. Verse number 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting door. And the doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Notice what it says. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. So we see a past, a present, and a future picture of our Savior. But what I want to talk to you about, just for a little bit this evening, is Psalm 23. And I know every one of you have studied this and read it. It's such a comfort to our hearts at times. But the Bible says this. By the way, you can't experience Psalm 23 unless you've experienced Psalm 22. Unless you've been to Calvary, if I can say it that way. Until you've seen Him crucified for your sins and he becomes your Savior, you cannot claim the benefits of Psalm 23. And so this is a psalm, I think, for saved people. It's a little truth to help us along the way. And so it says this, the Lord is. The Lord is. That's a present tense. And the psalmist said this, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's a personal shepherd. And I just want to say to you today and remind you of what you already know. We have one. Now here's what the shepherd did. The shepherd looked after the sheep. He oversaw the sheep. And we're going to see in a little bit, he protected the sheep. He directed the sheep. He provided for the sheep. All these things that the shepherd does, we have in the Lord. And by so many times, we're fretful. We get fretful and we get bothered about the things of life. But can I say this? We've got one that's looking out for us. He has our best interest at heart. And I know one of the fellows preached this, all things work together for them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so we know this, excuse me, even though all things are not good, the Lord works all things for good. He works those out. You have a shepherd. You have a shepherd now. You have one. Mind, there's so much that is said as we think about that phrase. It implies that we're sheep. God's people are sheep. I've said that to you many times. But what that means is we are meant, first of all, to flock together. I think that's one of the traps of this thing in these last days of the Zoom and the e-church and the computer, watching the things on computer, you lose that flock mentality. You're an individual just trying to make it on your own, but God set this thing up and ordered this thing. Can I just say it this way? We need each other. We need to come to the house of God. You need God's people in your life. Why is that? Because we're sheep. We have a sheep nature, and sheep are supposed to flock together. There's safety in that flock, if I can say that. And so as I begin to think about this, and if it's saying the Lord is our shepherd, then the implication is we're like sheep. We need to flock together and stay together. And even though there was multiple sheep, as we read this passage, this is about one sheep and one shepherd. And I'm glad we're a flock, but aren't you glad that the Lord is your shepherd? Not just the shepherd of the flock, which he is, which he oversees. I understand that. But individually and privately, the Lord is our shepherd. And my, that helps me. That helps me along the life. Along the way, sometimes I just feel like I'm fighting it on my own. And I know y'all may not ever, well, I'd say you do struggle with that sometimes. You just feel like it's you against the world and nobody cares. But aren't you glad we have a shepherd? A personal shepherd. I can't help when I start thinking about a shepherd that cares about me. I think about that a little sparrow does not fall to the ground that our Lord doesn't know about it. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. He knows what you're fearful of. Somebody was talking about our fears this week, if I'm remembering right. Talking about our fears. He knows what your fears are. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows your breaking point. He knows what you can handle and what you can't handle. He knows all about you, and He's watching over you. And His job, what that shepherd's job is, was to protect and keep the sheep. And my, that our shepherd, the great shepherd, His job as He watches over us, take care of us and protect us and help us along the way. And so there's an implied truth there that God's children by nature, by spiritual nature, are sheep. And they're the flock together. And the fact of the matter is this, they need a shepherd. There's a need for a shepherd in your life. Now, it may very well be there's some of you and you think this, I can just go it alone. I can just make it. Some way or another, I'll make it. Can I just say this to you? You need the Lord to shepherd over your life. You need that. You're not able to make it on your own. If we are left to ourselves, we'll crash. Young folk, if you're left to yourself, sometimes young people have a false sense of security and confidence. But the fact of the matter is, if you're left to yourself, you'll shipwreck before the day's out. That's just how it is. We need the Lord to help us along life's way. And so we see, just as we start to look at this, we see a need for a shepherd, because the fact of the matter is, we can't take care of ourselves, spiritually speaking. I see a lot of believers, and I see a sense of arrogance about them, a sense of I can handle this and I can take care of this. But the fact of the matter is, that's false confidence. That's a false self-confidence. You cannot make it without the Lord. And so we see, as we come to this text, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, the idea is behind that is of the essential needs of the spiritual life. The writer is saying this, the Lord is my shepherd, present tense, I shall not, we see his faith, I shall not want, future tense. Here's what he's saying. The Lord is my shepherd. He's going to take care of my needs in the future. And I don't know what the future holds. Was it David? I believe it was David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor Sister Sharon sung that this morning, I believe, nor his seed begging bread. The fact of the matter is, I've never seen God's people starved to death. I never have. It seems God has always provided for those that I know that's been saved. I don't know what the future holds, but I know this and I believe this. He is our shepherd, and whatever the needs of the future are, the Lord's going to take care of that. Now, I look around and I know in the future, here's some things that's going to happen. Death is going to meet some of us. Death is coming. In this assembly somewhere, there'll be another widow or widower. That's the way it works. That's life. That's going to happen. And you say, oh my, I just couldn't handle that. Can I tell you, the shepherd will take care for you and I. Some of you, there's Brother Harrison saying eight men with authority. He's been through that. He knows what the Lord will do for him, how he'll help him. I don't know where the economy's going with the price. I don't see how young people can afford to buy a home today. I don't see how that's going to work out. I mean, I look at the prices and it's just unbelievable to me. But can I just say this? If there's a need there, a true need, God's going to make a way, some way. God will take care of that. He's our shepherd. And the psalmist said, I shall not want. And I think if we have the right kind of faith, we ought to say this, he's going to take care of me in the future. He's going to look after me. And so then the psalmist, he begins to deal with some of these needs, some of these wants. It says this, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, I know what all the writers say about, I know what some of the writers say about this. And no doubt that's right. It's speaking the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And we can understand that. And he's saying, but I think there's some little truths that we can draw from this. And number one, the Lord wants to place us in a prosperous, spiritually speaking, a prosperous place where we can eat and drink and ingest the best to make us what we ought to be. I don't think the Lord wants His children to be spindly and weak and anemic and spiritually ready to collapse. I don't believe that's pleasing to the Lord. I think as our shepherd looks over us and as we will allow Him to be the shepherd He wants to be in our life, He will cause us to lie down in green pastures and He'll lead us beside still waters, and that will supply the diet, if you want to say it that way, the needs to help us be healthy Christians for His glory and His honor. He wants you to be a healthy Christian. And I know this, a lot of people say, well, we've got a need here, we need to go help. There's people starving to death trying to be a help. I will tell you this little story. I don't really like preaching experiences, but we were in the church trying to help one time, and you know what Karen and I found out? They didn't want help. They were satisfied. It was just a little, there was about two or three families there, and two of them kindly was in charge, and they really didn't want any help. They really didn't want anything that was going to challenge their life. I believe the Lord wants us to be spiritually healthy. I don't think, surely you can't argue with that. And so He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He's really what He's doing is seeking to have His way in our lives. He wants you where you can grow. He wants you where you can eat. And eat the proper diet. Digest what will make you healthy and strong. He desires growth in your life. I look around at some believers, and I believe this. I don't believe they're growing. Now, it's one of two things. It's the fact that you're not where you need to be. You're not positioned to eat correctly, or you're refusing to eat. That seems to be what it has to be. And so let me just say this. He does not want you to be malnourished spiritually or on an unhealthy diet. And some of you may be. I don't know. It may be you're not ingesting the right things in your life. And if that's so, you ought to repent and get right with the Lord. And so, let's see what else He says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And I just wonder if verse 3 doesn't go with verse 2. I've just wrestled that around in at times. He restoreth my soul. That word restore, you can look at it. It carries a definition, if you go back to the root word, of refresh. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes God's children need restoration. We need to be restored. We're not where we ought to be, but we need to be refreshed or restored or brought back to the place where we can be effective for the Lord. How do you get there? Excuse me. It may be you need to eat and digest the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. That may be how restoration comes. In fact, the matter, I believe it is how restoration comes. And so He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside the still waters. And I think the idea is this. He wants to restore you to where you ought to be. Now here's what I want to know. Are we where we ought to be? Now we have to look at that individually. That's really an individual question. Are we where we ought to be with the Lord? Are we where we ought to be? Now we've got a shepherd, and he may bring you to the green pastures and the still waters, and the purpose may be that He wants to restore your soul, and He wants to restore you for what reason? Let's look in the rest of the verse. He restores my soul. And then after restoration, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. After restoration comes a walk in, comes a righteous walk. A right walking in a righteous path. I believe a path would be a well-worn, what would be the word I would want to use? A well-worn walkway. How's that? A path is something that's been traveled by multiple people that's made it a path. And here's what I think we're looking at here. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and He's making me to lie down in the green pastures and bringing me beside the still waters because He's seeking to restore my soul. And He wants to restore me to where I need to be so He can lead me in righteous pathways." Now, I know there's a lot of ways to look at this psalm. This is how I want to look at it tonight. He's leading us. Do you know you're to be a righteous individual? Now, the fact of the matter is, when you get saved, you are righteous. You have the imputed righteousness of Christ, hid with Christ in God, seated in the heavenlies. We can go through all those verses again. Hopefully, you've heard them enough from me to note that. But there is a personal righteousness that God wants you to maintain in your life. Be, as it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's in Peter's writings. Did you know God wants you to be a holy person? He doesn't want you to use trashy talk. He doesn't want you to watch trashy things. He doesn't want you to act in an ungodly and a unrighteous manner. He doesn't want you to think unrighteously. He wants His people to be a righteous people. And if that's going to be, you're going to have to lie down in green pastures, and you're going to have to come to the still waters and let the Lord do a work in your life. And so, as we look at this little text here, we see first of all He's seeking to get this psalmist to the place of a righteous lifestyle, of a godly life, of living for the Lord and His life, people looking at Him and seeing Christ in Him and glorifying and say, "My, there's something different about that individual. There's something special about them. They're not like everybody else. They're Christ-like." You know what that does? That brings glory to our Lord. And I think it's the shepherd that's going to have to get us there. Here's what many think. I'll just do that myself. I don't think you can. I don't think you have the ability. You know why? You have a flesh. And here's the psalmist. He's saying this. He's saying he's led me here, and He's restoring my soul there. And He's leading me now. He's leading me in the path of righteousness' sake. Now watch verse number 4. We're going to see after we're restored and after we're made righteous, there is a warfare. Now, it starts out saying this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And I'm thinking, they read this a lot, I guess, at funerals. Some folks do. I don't. But I think this is really dealing with not death, but with living. And here's what it says, yea. It's almost like, man, pay attention to what I'm saying. Man, this is something here. I think that's what the psalmist is trying to say with that yea. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, there's some valleys to walk through. There's some places that we're to that we're going to be called on to walk through. That valley is a low place. It's a low place, and I want you to notice what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, for something to cast a shadow, it has to be fairly close. There's not going to be a shadow cast of something if the sun was out and shining bright and there was an object in Maryville, in the city limits of Maryville. It's not going to cast a shadow here. Now, one of these trees out here with the sun shining would cast a shadow. It's close enough that it casts a shadow. And I want to say to you, I think what he's saying here, that death is near. That death is near. Now, we know this too. We can't have a shadow without light. You can't have shadow without the sun. And so I think what this psalmist is saying here is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, death may be there, but the sun is right behind it. The sun is overseeing this thing and watching over this matter. Now, why would death be a concern in this particular situation? I want you to look at verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, here's what I think. I think that this fellow's in a battle now. He's got his life lined up right. Everything's straight. He's righteous. He's walking paths of righteousness. Now he's going through the valley of the shadow of death. The reason he is, his enemies are nearby. You know, this may be even getting ready to fight in a battle. I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. If we're talking about a shepherd, it may be some sort of wild animal nearby. And death is looming. It very well could be that. But it seems to me, as he talks about death in verse number 4, it seems very odd to me that in verse number 5, he's talking about his enemies. And no doubt there's enemies out there that wanted to destroy him. And here's what he said. He said, I'll fear no evil. And I can take you back over to Psalm. I guess I should have wrote that down. In Psalm 3 and 6, he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. My, here's what he's saying. The Lord's with me, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. And he said, I'm walking in the shadow of death, through the valley of the shadow of death. But he says, the Lord, He's with me. I'll fear no evil. And notice how verse 4, he starts talking to the Lord and not about the Lord. Notice that little phrase, for thou art with me. Not he is with me. For thou art with me. He's stepped it up a notch. He's got a little bit closer now. My, you get your life straightened up. You start walking the paths of righteousness, and you and the Lord will have a personal communion. It'll be something special for you. And so he said, let me just read again. I'll be through here in just a minute. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I will not fear. Death is close enough to cast a shadow, but I will not fear, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then he said, this thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Here's provision. In the presence of his enemies, he prepared a table. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Here's what he's saying. You're blessing me in the presence of mine enemies. And it very well could have been those enemies who were creating the shadow of death in his life. He said this, I won't be afraid. You're with me. And he said, why, you've even blessed me with a table in the presence of mine enemies. You bless me. And my, we could all probably have stories to tell how God's given us victory over our enemies at times in our life. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He said, I'm just overly blessed. And I know you can draw many great truths out of that, but I just want to give you a few little general truths there. Did you know when things are at its worst, God can bless you the most if He chooses to? He can just bless you the most. And then in verse number 6, surely. Here's what the psalmist said, for sure, without a doubt, no question about it, surely, goodness and mercy. Man, that touches me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Can I say goodness? I've been saved 53 years. Can I just say goodness and mercy has followed me up to this point? Up to this point. I can't say about the future, but I guess I can based on the Word of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I won't tell you this, and I'm just... You say what you want for every child of God. There's coming a day we're going to be with the Lord forever. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But until that comes, goodness and mercy, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Church, can I just say this? We ought not be anxiety-ridden. We ought not let worries overtake us and whip us down and get us defeated. We've got a shepherd that provides and protects and guides and directs and leads. And our shepherd, can I just tell you, there's no enemy too powerful for him. No case too hard. He has all power in heaven and earth. And you and I, He is watching over us and caring for us. And all, you say, what about all the troubles and all the problems? I can't explain that, God, those things in God's hands, but I know what the Word of God says. And He says we have a shepherd that's watching over us and taking care of us. By that valley of the shadow of death, the enemy may have been out to get him. Destroy his life. And my, I can't say this, you do have an enemy out to get you. Destroy your life. He's walking about seeking whom he may not injure, not hurt, but devour. Here's what the psalmist said, surely. I'm just going to close it on this and read it one more time. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Can you say that? I mean, really, let's just back up and just survey life as over the whole of it. Surely, surely, goodness. Have I had problems in life? I've had a multitude of problems. I have a multitude of several problems right now. My life, several issues that I don't know what to do about and how to handle. I can say this, the Lord's been good to me. He's been good to me. Can I say this? He's been merciful to me. Man, if He'd give me what I deserve, I'd be in hell today. But He's merciful to me. What a good shepherd. What a good shepherd we have. And one of these days, we're going to be home with the Lord for all of eternity. Never, I don't even know if we'll even have a memory of this life after that's all been done away with. Here's all I want to say tonight. I didn't really want to preach a message. Just kind of want to give you a little thought as we close out this busy week we've had. We've got a shepherd, church. We've got a shepherd that cares about you. If he knows when the sparrow hits the ground, he surely knows what you're going through. He surely knows that. And he cares for us. And he's looking out for us. And he protects us and helps us through the struggles of this life. He helps us. And I say glory to his high and holy and wonderful name tonight. Let's bow our heads. Just, you may have come in tonight with a heavy load, something on your heart. I don't know, nothing to do with the little thought I've mentioned, gave you tonight. But maybe God's with you. God's troubled you or dealing with your heart. Let me give you an opportunity to come this evening. Thank you.